Let's talk about dance. Tanztheater calling.
What for a pleasure, Mr. Marszahn. Hello, hello.
Mr. Wagenbach.
How are
hello.
You?
Hello.
Hello. Ben, how
yeah,
are you?
Thank you.
How was your day?
The day just started, my dear.
How was your coffee? Was it good? Did you have a good coffee?
I made it always with half a milk.
Okay.
Barista version.
Okay. Right. But this is now the healthy version, or is it like...
It is always the healthy version with me. Yeah. After 50, everything is healthy. I'm looking for it.
Ben, so great to have you here. I was wondering, because we know each other, the others know it not, but we know each other for a very long time. So we could go on like this for ages.
We don't do it. I know.
No, we don't do it. When we now talk about, or in this format, let's talk about dance.
Yeah.
About your career at the Tanztheater and your, let's say, transformation. Because you are not just a dancer and a physio, you also were a...
Gardener.
So maybe we start with that. So you started being a gardener before you went to Folkwang.
I always wanted to become an actor, but through the education of my parents, they say, like, you know, it's better like you learn something you earn money with. I had to choose a job before. So I choose the job of a social security.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's true.
Agent.
Okay.
And this was too bureaucratic for me. After 1 year and 1 month, I find certain possibilities to quit that job with the anger of my parents in my back. But I had a solution. I said, like, if that is it not, if the social security officer, it is not. So it might be 180 degrees the other way around, might be somebody who's working in the earth with the hands. So I started like the education of a gardener. And I got really, really happy inside that, you know, all these natural elements, all this heat and all this coldness during the cold days during the winter. Mm-hmm. Many stories possible, but I keep myself short. And then I thought, like, so now I can go on with my parallel sort or my parallel practical way of becoming an artist.
Yeah.
And I started like being a statist in the theater of Krefeld as an actor, like an
extra
on the side, like a statist in opera pieces. And then in one opera piece, there were coming four girls, like four little swannies. I was just like attracted, and I'd forgot to get on stage with my own job. So, and then somebody, I felt this still.
That's a good beginning for this career, actually.
Yeah, I get the cold turkey. I felt the warm hand of somebody on my left shoulder. It's still there, right? And I got gooskin, like I got them now. It's like I got gooskin. Say like, oh, fuck, I got this. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't went out for my cue in this theater, and I had the warm hand, and I knew for what it is. And I know it is the organizer of the statistery asking me, like, what are you doing here? Mm-hmm. So I don't know how this story continues. I forgot it. But then I was just like infected right away by dance, you know, infected in a good way. Nice word for nowadays because of the pandemic. I'm infected by movements. And then I started like, okay, maybe I can do something before I enter the school of being an actor. I can work on my body. I had two ballet schools. Like first I went to a guy. He took it very serious, like to give class to me, but he took it also very serious, like to get me as a lover. That was my way out of the first dance school. So then I had to stop in my sense of like, okay, if that is going this way, then I'm probably not part of the dance world. But I worked so much in the first dance school. I worked like the base class, the advanced class, and the class for older people, like was called like aerobic in these days. And he said, like, if you don't do all the three classes, I don't see any future of a dancer in you. So I worked in the garden for 8 hours, like went home, changed my clothes, washed my fingers. Then I went to take class like from 6 o'clock until 10:30.
How old were you at this stage?
That was 19 at this time. I thought like I have to do it or more serious or I just leave it. So then I went to that guy and that guy just fell in love with me after 1 year. And so I stopped. And then one of the women of the aerobic class just like met me in the street and shout on me, just like, where are you in class? What happened to you? And it was so loud and she was so extremely telling me I'm going the wrong way. But she convinced me through her loud voice and through her focus on me that I need to do something to continue with dance. Mm-hmm. So right away, I wrote the letter for the audition in Folkwang. 2 weeks later, I got the invitation for the audition. I went to the audition.
And you were 19 and you had like how many hours lesson? Like 1 year or what?
Yeah.
When I think like people, when they want to be professionals, they have like for a long time training before. So
yeah,
was it normal or was it just an exception?
To get this ball into the goal, it was always an exception with me.
I'm feeling a theme coming up. That's why I'm asking. I'm feeling the ball rolling.
Exactly. I went through the audition. I got a letter about 2 days or 3 days later. They said like, yeah, you're accepted, but you're not starting in the first class. You're starting in the second class.
Oh.
And then I thought like, wow, this is exceptional. And maybe Biggie, what the woman's name was, who was taking the class by my first ballet teacher in aerobic, was right, like to send me to that school. But then in the end, I found out like basically it was a teacher who decided to get me in the second class because like he had only one boy there.
Okay.
And to make this kind of competition between the boys, which is helpful to bring dancers.
Development career. Yeah.
In the development career, right? I got into the second class, but the second class was just like, not because I was so good, because like I needed to work to get on the level. So the teachers, all the teachers, like my modern teacher, my classical teacher, and my historical teacher, they put me like into their hands. And some of them, they went with me beside the normal schedule plan of a dancer to build up the status of the technique the class had. Basically, I was called like, not there's coming burn the dancer. I was always called like there's coming burn the worker at this time, right? At the end of the 3 years, I made the master class with my modern teacher, Jean Sebron, and I had to teach the first and second class in the school. And I learned like two solos from my modern teacher, Jean Sebron.
Which was a big honor, huh?
That was a big honor, yeah. He was full of knowledge and I was hungry for knowledge about where movements come from, how is it connected to your feelings, how is the form connected to your emotions, what do the emotions to fulfill the form in a kind of takeable things for the public? Because like if you only show the technique, then you also can go in sports. You don't need to shine. But the shining element in dance, which is the most important because that is what magnetizes the public coming to see you, I learned with him. I started to learn like to bring these things in relation, in a good relation.
And what did Bernd, the worker, so was it how you described yourself, learn especially from Jean Sebron? Because Pina was also very influenced or valued him very strongly or was a very strong relation there.
Yeah. And we learned also one duet, which Jean Sebron and Pina danced together. That I learned with Marija. She was also in that school at that moment. And we learned it together to get close to that feeling, what they both felt together at this moment. That was a big honor. But in the other way, the teachers were magnetic with me. It was like a kind of peinlich. For that moment, I see the greed and the jealousy in the eyes of the ambitious dancers. They wanted to do something and they put so much power in it. But I got all these sweets from the teachers.
Why do you think was this, that you had like this special position? Was it because you had a different background, a different ambition or different wish to learn? Or was it talent?
I wanted to gain. I didn't want to learn. I wanted to gain knowledge. because like there was something in me which moves me, which wants to come out, but I didn't know the language. And the reason why, you know, it's like an ordinary day in Germany, we're not a dance country in this way. When you bring us in relation to Brazil, Argentina, Italy, Spain, France, you know, we're not that much in dance. So I'm not coming from a big town like Düsseldorf or like this. I'm coming from a little small town. So my mind was also small town related. I knew that also I needed to change this small town bourgeois thinking of my head into a kind of more world citizen, universal idea. I had my ambition. I had my curiosity. Like, body is pure curiosity for me. Still now.
You know where this curiosity comes from? That there was really a search, what you just described, that you're really looking for something. Because sometimes we're thinking so much into boxes, you know. First we do this, first we do the foundation, and then we do this, and then we do this, and then we do this. But when there is not a real question why we want to build a house or why we want to search, it also doesn't matter if we have the boxes. Therefore, I found it quite interesting that you said you had this need or this curiosity for body. When was then the first time you met Pina, or when you were confronted with her work? Do you remember this? I mean, I think you do.
No, that's a good ongoing. In the examination of the third class, that was my second year, it was the third year of the other dancers in my class. Pina was just sitting there. The school director changed on that season I came on school. Before it was Hans Züllich directing the school. With my coming, was Pina directing the school. I didn't know much about Pina at that time. I wanted to actually mainly become prince, you know, getting completely involved in the movement of Nureyev and Baryshnikov. And then Pina saw me in this examination. She saw, like, Malou was also there, because Malou was my modern teacher at that time, Malou Ayrado. And Pina just looked like, we had a diagonal in classic ballet. I don't know the variation anymore. But in the end of the diagonal, I was just like very close to Pina and very close to Malou. Malou was sitting actually on the window, and Pina was sitting on the bench, the same bench where this hilarious photo of her is made in the studio. Mm-hmm. And then she said to Malou, it's Pilates. Okay. And I didn't know who the hell is Pilates. And then when I enter the company, she pulls actually Iphigenia on the plan. And I had to learn the role of Pilates with Ed Cortland.
And Bernd, what do you think did Pina see in you when she saw you dancing?
I have no idea. I had the eyes on me, and the eyes were looking on me, and I knew she wanted something from me. I was always just like stalking her, you know, understanding her skills, you know, or provocations or questions. But I never find, until now, I never find something out. I get, you know how I found out something about the objection to the company of just like being out of the company, making 10 years my own stuff, and having 10 years just like to recreate my life into physiotherapy, close to the body, getting objection to her work. I trusted her in the way like she puts me in her pieces. They were made, or, you know, she take the things for the new creations from me. I respected, I accepted that completely, and I was completely happy with this.
But what do you think did she take from you in the relationship? What kind of quality? Did you ever thought about which color you were?
I'm for myself, like, I think I am a green color. Green color in spiritual sections.
What's the green in the spiritual context? Maybe you can explain.
It's the hard part. It's talking about the heart chakra. Mm-hmm. And I feel really good in the green part, right? What I really know she wanted from me is to be myself in the most qualified way I could find myself. And she supported any way. And she took any technique. Is it words, or is it provocation? Is it ignorance? To ignorance somebody when you have a lot of questions makes you looking for yourself. It is always like with this little word oi before. Or let me say like what oi means in Latino, means like oi pneu, apneu, you know. Apneu is just like very bad breathing. And oi pneu is the really good breathing. So you always have the good and the bad side in anything what comes to you and anything what you give. So it depends on the communication level, on the quality, how you take it, you know. ignorance in this sense, like sometimes she could be very ignorant, but you know, it is not personal. She was just like 90.9% for her pieces looking for new input, new qualities, advanced qualities of somebody. And she took any way to provocate you or any way to support you. Sometimes support doesn't work, so she provocates you. I would never look for that in me until the moment she asked me something to find that and then just like leave me alone with my in-between questions until I have a kind of impro.
So just to stimulate you.
At that time was no stimulation. At this time, I didn't understand one thing. I had to find something. Like she doesn't help me, she didn't have time, or she didn't answer my question right, or I had a question and she answered it with a question, you know, like Peanut was. But it makes you looking for yourself.
That's more like the struggle or the finding. How did you dealt with the frustration? Could you turn it in improvisations?
The frustration actually came very late, and it was basically the frustration of the level of communication I had to her. And that level of communication I had to the company at this time. I took the stage very serious. Like, there's nothing private for me on stage. Was never and will never be. That was the first thing I learned in ballet class. Like, you know, put your personal person outside, come in as a schwamm. With Iphigenie and Orpheus, I was with Pina alone in the studio and worked with her alone, which was like completely different than any other rehearsals, like with the company by itself. Like you could really feel that she's following you and she's knowing what your elbow and what your fingers are doing. She's having question and having her tools like to think about these things, to bring your sensitivity to parts of your body.
What was then a question when you rehearsed, for example, Orpheus?
How you breathe when you do this movement.
And how did you breathe?
I didn't know at this time. I just like went into the thing and said like, okay, I don't try to make my breathing. I listen to my breathing. Yeah. I listen how I breathe. She said like, yeah, try different breathings. There was like one diagonal, what was Orpheus doing. And then she said like, look, in this point, I don't breathe. In this diagonal, I don't breathe at all. Like try to make it without breathing. And then I did it. And then I almost get like tears because like I got all this knowledge in her question, what she wants from me was only in one question of her letting me do this diagonal without breathing. It was her work and she puts me in and she finds a way to engage myself in looking good in her eyes. Right? I think that was a nice thing for her also. She said to me, I love to work with you because like many things happens. I get a little bit like thrilled in my head and think like, oh, wow. And now I'm somebody, you know, time by time, Pina comes and just say like, I told you this and this and that, you know, it's like, you're not doing that anymore. Is it forgotten or don't you care about it? And then she turns around and goes to her table. And then I said like, whoa, it's like, I'm not somebody. I still have to give an update. I still have to be again there. I still have to work. I was there.
Why is it very German that you still have to work? I mean, I think especially this generation in post-war Germany were brought up in this kind of going on. But I also completely agree with you that it's also a very general human thing that we really connect through work and that we have to, what you said, like update ourselves. Nobody can be sure what has been achieved because we actually don't know what we achieved, or maybe we don't know anything. But was it this what you learned from Pina? I think it's interesting to describe this mentality.
I was never a fan of work. Work by itself doesn't make sense in my eyes. Especially for dance, it brings you 95% to your goal, but the last 5% you never reach, and that makes you an engagement. That makes you being seen, you know. Everyone has it, like Joseph Beuys says, everyone is an artist. If you have the curiosity to find your own artist, I'm pretty sure like everyone is doing something in its life. It's very special. There's a very curiosity inside. He didn't want to work on it. He just like, he cannot leave it. He just continues. And that is the way of Pina, how I see Pina, was working, Pina was always with her work. The child, the husband, the group, the friends, they were all involved. Nowadays, I make, as a physiotherapist, I make a difference. I leave my work in the studio and I go home and I'm private. But before, it wasn't like that. When I was a dancer, I was always with dance. I'd take a cup, I was dancing. I was turning to somebody, I was dancing. Like Dominic says, incarnation in the kindergarten already. I didn't know I'd do that or I did that. The nonverbal language is the most important communication quality you can have when you talk to somebody. It is the words, but basically you understand through the movement. Otherwise, your mind is more too much involved, right? And then you become a mind worker.
Yeah. Is it still your curiosity now as a physio, or, you know, working with the company or working with dancers? Is it a kind of knowledge and curiosity you want to support them because you have an understanding of the dancing body within this context?
Yeah, definitely it's a support. We had like pieces with the Trauerspiel, with ash and a swimming island on the stage, with salt, with sand, with water. We didn't have a physiotherapist there. We didn't have one like that, you know. And she said, like, yeah, when you're sick, then you go to the doctor, then you get the yellow paper, you bring the yellow paper, you get sick, you go home, you wait, you make yourself clean. I work with somebody else. I didn't want to get sick. I want to work with her, so I don't want to get sick, right? There was that time when we really went on tournée and we had to work a lot, and I wished like to have not only a hot bath or a kind of tennis balls or like somebody to talk to. There was a moment, a group of people, they went through a shiatsu therapeut and they brought the shiatsu therapeut in. In the objection, when I started to study physiotherapy, for me, it became clearer and clearer and clearer that my demanding in that time was like a real demand, which has to be fulfilled, which has to be answered. So then I said, like, I can go back to the company and support, you know, I can be that answer for them, which I wanted actually in my time. I know all of the repertoire pieces which I was in and which was strongly hard for the body, like Sacre or Gebirge. I can be empathic with them. I know what they feel. I know how they are when they are on stage. When I see rehearsals, I can see like, oh my God, there's something with the knee or something with the foot. So I can combine little coaching things for the shining idea, which is also part of physiotherapy, to bring somebody back into shape. So mainly it is a support thing, but it's also a kind of support on what it needs to be balanced again.
We talked about the body and your curiosity with the body in the different parts of your career and now also as a physiotherapist. What do you think you learned from Pina about the body as a final question?
Honesty. Honesty, pure honesty. It's like you don't know who you are and what you are until you don't find your own movement. I mean, it's a treasure for everyone who was reflected by her. She was looking like this to you, and she wants to bring you on the same level. She was always talking between yin and yang, between man and woman, between girl and boy, because that is a frontier where we're dealing with ourselves also inside. But the most challenging thing for me is how to walk together. And that is for me Tango Argentino now. The feeling, you know, of following, the feeling of leading. You lead to give an invitation and then to wait if this invitation is taking, and then you make the step. But that happens in 1 second. That is a challenge, and this is an adventure. And that is the most interesting thing in dance for me in the part of my life where I am now.
Thank you very much, Bernd.
Yeah, you're welcome. It was fun, Mark. Nice to have you as a questioner. I love every one of you four. You know, it's a small group, but I trust you. I know that there's a brilliance in all of your works.
It's beautiful. I love you from the bottom of my heart.